Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be talking today about the Shemitah year. You know, just recently, we've been talking some about it, but you think about Jonathan Cahn's had a book out. His book is, he talks about the harbingers and different things that are taking place, but he has this book out recently talking about the Shemitah, and it's a cycles of how God works in specific time frames, and one is seven-year cycle. When you think about the tribulation, he talks about it'll be 7 years, but it'll be cut short, and the 70 weeks of Daniel, and all the sevens. He created the earth and the world, world in, 7 days? And anyway, so we're right now in the middle of, according to Jonathan Cahn, a Shemitah year, and we're coming towards the end of it. And the cycles that take place in these things are amazing. They say when you can go back and look at how every 7 years things take place, it's amazing how you can see. It's like, my goodness, why didn't we see that coming? And so here we are at a point of crisis in time where we've been talking prophetically about prophetic warnings are happening. You know, ISIS is in America. ISIS camps from the other side of the border. We just talked about in our last program. Rick Joyner's getting dreams and visions about this, this almost like a hive or just a wave of evil coming across America. Others getting prophetic warnings. And what happens is...
You've got to get this prophetic conference, thanks to Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence. He's made that available, and we're going to have a link for you to be able to get to that and more about it on the VFN Torch, but I believe johnkilpatrick.org, you can get that and hear the whole thing in its entirety. But we are in this Shemitah year. This is it. And so the dates of...
It started September 2014, I believe it's 23rd, and the next time is Yom Kippur this year, 2015, which is going to fall on September the 13th. So we're right in this Shemitah year where the fulfillment of it, right, if it happens.
I mean, when you hear about the harbingers and all the things that have taken place, that everything doesn't just happen. You know, God is so in control that not even a bird falls from the sky without his permission.
Right.
I mean, think about that. Not a hair on your head does it get lost outside of God's permission. I mean, he's so aware of us. He's so into us. The thing is are we into him? And he's waiting for us to reach out. So the twin towers that came down were symbols of power, the symbols of economic power. And it's been almost like a downfall since that point in regards to if you're going to do a graph on, you know, where things were going, it's a whole different world. And I remember the Lord showing me, you know, before that or right around that time, he showed me President George Bush, and he was in the White House, and he was flying. There was, imagine the White House and the Oval Room has a steering wheel for an airplane, a stick for an airplane. And he's holding on, trying to steer America to keep it from crashing. But it was just inevitable. It was coming down like this, and it was shaking. And ever since that moment in time, I believe it's been in crisis management, trying to manage the impact. Because you think about, you know, in this current presidency, they printed more money, they have more debt in this one administration than every president from George Bush, George Washington to the one prior to, which would be from George to George.
Wow.
And you add them all up, and this one's more. But it started way earlier than this current administration that's in, instead of financial crisis. And it makes me think about, John, how the Lord was speaking to you about, you know, in 6 minutes, right?
Yeah, yeah. I had this this night vision, this dream where I was going to work. I was in the office, and I was headed to my desk. And as I was walking there, I saw that my colleagues were surrounding a television screen, and they were watching breaking news. And it was breaking news from years past. You know how they would actually really break the news, not now, where they kind of tell you what the news they're about to break.
Get ready for it.
Yeah, so people are standing, but the reporter's standing on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, and I saw all the stockbrokers wearing their blue jackets. They were standing still, which
is... that stockbrokers, the exchange you're looking at, where the money's exchanged, businesses are owned.
Businesses are owned, and my father's a stockbroker. I've been there, you know, I've been to the Trade Center, and those guys don't stop. They're running around. They were standing still, waiting to hear what the reporter was going to say. And he says, I don't want you to panic, but in a few minutes, you know, I'm about to share something. And as soon as he said that,
in 6 minutes.
Well, this is the first part. As soon as he said that, I already knew in the dream, because God already had spoken to us sometimes about what was coming, I knew what he was about to say. And so I go to get my things so that I can be ahead of the crowd that's about to panic.
Because you're in a city and it's packed.
Right. And at the time I'm living, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes from Manhattan. Anyway, as I'm walking, exiting the building, he begins to share his report. And he says, I don't want you to panic, but in 6 minutes, the world's going to end as we know it.
Now, they weren't saying the world's going to end,
right?
But as you know the
world. As we know it. And so, of course, pandemonium started breaking loose. And at that point, I began to stand up on the table and I directed to VFN TV and the torch and all the different things.
Because it's all there. We've been prophesying about these things, yeah.
For quite a while. And so, you know, six is the number of an idol. You know, here we are in the middle of the New York Stock Exchange, and America has made, you know, money the idol.
And there's a bull right outside the stock market. I mean, think about this.
They sell bulls as tourists right outside of Battery Park. They sell them as good luck pieces for a fortune for money.
Well, that means nothing. You understand what a bull means, but a bull is Baal.
Yeah.
You know, Baal worship in regards to why does it have to be a bull market? Why not a God market?
Yeah.
In regards to.
Sure.
And Baal represents the work of your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And that came during crisis. They presented that big,
ugly thing.
Pile of bull, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's amazing, you know, when you think about that, the number of man. And when God was when God empowered Elijah to bring a nation before him, to bring them to a point of decision, it was about a bull. It was about Baal. Mm. It was about Baal worship. And he had the prophets of Baal on one side of the part of the mountain, and he had his relationship with God on the other side of the mountain, and the two was being compared.
Mm-hmm.
And we're about to see that God's going to win out over Baal.
No doubt.
God is going to win out over all the bull.
Mm. God always wins.
And I remember when, you know, Jonathan Kahn was talking about, now Capitol prayer is back into Capitol Hill now.
Yes.
And they invited him to come in and speak at Capitol Hill. And he gave the warning right from the Capitol Hill. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
And this is that something that happened in the Capitol building. And this happened in this past year. And one of the things that happened is someone was listening as I was speaking about the Harbinger on television, and they were led by the Lord to pray about something, and God miraculously opened the door to bring prayer back to the Capitol building. So that prayer and the Bible and the Word and services in the Capitol. And it was first once a year, and now it's every week in the Capitol building. And there is a remnant, I can tell you. I mean, there's a remnant on Capitol Hill that are of Congress, members of Congress, senators who are praying for America. They're even praying for pastors to be strong. And there are people who have run for president, are running for president, who also that way, who also have endorsed, said the Harbinger, and are praying for America for revival. So I want to just share a note to encourage you. God will give opportunities, and I believe our greatest days to be bold and to be strong are ahead. So as an encouragement, if you have the second clip, this is in the Capitol building this year.
Then Rabbi Jonathan Kahn will come. If you have not read his remarkable book, The Harbinger, a bestseller, it is one of the most soul-stirring and stunning, spellbinding books I think I have ever read.
And he's running for president.
He will come following Congressman Fittinger.
We stand tonight on Capitol Hill, in the city named after the one who gave that prophetic warning, to ask, can a nation drive out the name of God from its public squares, and the word of God from its schools, and the ways of God from its culture, and still expect the smiles of God to shine upon it? Can the blood of 50 million unborn children cry out to heaven from this land, and the smiles of heaven still remain? Members of Congress, can a government call good evil and evil good, and forge laws that war against the laws of the Almighty, and the smiles of heaven still remain? Supreme Court justices, can you strike down the statutes of the Almighty and overturn the judgments of the Most High and still expect the smiles of heaven to remain? And Mr. President, can you place your left hand on the word of God to assume your office and then with your right hand sign laws that break the very word upon which you swore and still expect the smiles of heaven to remain? The voice of our first president cries out to us tonight and answers, no, you cannot do so, and still expect the smiles of heaven to remain upon this land. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. America has risen by the hand of God. And without that hand, it cannot endure. The voice of God cries out, return, America, and I will have mercy on you. And tonight we bear witness from Capitol Hill that the warning of our first president is true, and that our hope is not in the White House or the Supreme Court or the Capitol or Wall Street. Our hope is in the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our hope is in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the same yesterday, today, and forever. To him alone the nation is dedicated, and him alone is his salvation. So let the word go forth this night to this nation. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Let the will of God be done, let the name of God be lifted up, and let this city on the hill again shine with the light of the fire of the glory of the living God, in the name of Yeshua, Jesus, the light of the world, the glory of Israel, and the hope of these United States. So help us God. Amen.
Totally, wow. totally awesome. Think about this. That, you know, people say, man, that's the Capitol. Mm-hmm. That they are proclaiming the word of God. Somebody says, you know, I've heard that scripture so many times, if my people, that's like the grace of God. Hopefully yeah. it's in stereo everywhere, because God is warning us again and again. He's going, I want to restore America. That's that mm-hmm. verse of scripture means, if we, then God will. If we hear from God, humble ourselves, repent, turn from wicked ways, he'll heal the land. This is God telling us, I want to heal America. Yeah. I want to heal the land. I want to heal it. But the prerequisite for that is for us to turn back to him.
That's right.
And that is in the Capitol Hill. And I think about, you know, where you had that night vision, that dream, and that, and you think about the New York Stock Exchange, you think about the Twin Towers that fell, and it was right there. As you can find out more about reading in the Book of Harbingers, and also he has a book on the Shemitah. But it's to understand that is where the capital of America was. It was in New York.
Yeah.
It wasn't Washington, D.C. wasn't around in that time. Mm-hmm. And the beginning of our country, and right across the street from the Twin Towers was a small little church, and that's where they went to pray after the dedication of America, with our president, George Washington, prayed right there in that church, right where those towers fell. And so you're thinking, why is all this friction happening in New York? Why is all this intensity happening in this one area? Because that's the birthplace. Mm. That's where America was dedicated to God. That's where our president, President George Washington, laid his hand upon a Bible and said that this can't be done without God. I mean, think about it. This is so important, because outside of having God over you as a nation, you have to have a tyrannical leader. I mean, if we're not under God the way Israel was under God, then it's just wild. I mean, look what happened in the days of Noah. There was no leadership. Everybody yeah. was doing evil in their own minds. And so all of humanity was destroyed. And what comes after that is leadership. God calls the people out. He begins to establish himself. Well, he begins to reveal himself as he's the one in control and leading them and protecting them. And it wasn't until they begin to cry out for, I want a king like everybody else has a king. And he says, you know, he gave them Saul.
Yeah.
You know,
when George Washington took the oath of office, he turned to the Bible, to Deuteronomy chapter 28. That's the chapter for blessings for obedience and blessings for curses for disobedience. That's the very first thing that our president did, and kissed the Bible. And he was the one who said, so help me God, was the first one to say that.
Yes.
And so it's just huge significance.
It is. And we get back from the break. We want you to, you know, we'll hear things about, this is how control God is. We're going to have Jonathan Kahn talking about, you know, being on his side. You're on the winning side. Ooh. And not only that, the blessing being spoken out. His lineage comes from the Aaron priesthood, actually. When you think about, okay, all these things are taking place, you know, how in control is God? I mean, how in control is he? Because I think the biggest issue we have as human beings is letting go and trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have enough on your plate if you think you're in control. You got to keep putting more on your plate till finally you realize the only way this is going to happen is God. But if you stay in the area where you got everything, you know,
stand by the shore.
You got to get into the deep and get over your head, and you'll be surprised. It'll build your relationship with God when you start getting to go as far as you have to go, where it creates total dependency on him. Do not stay in any area of your life, in any aspect of your life, now while you have a chance, that you're in control. Get out and deepen obedience to God where you depend on him for your very breath, that you depend on him, that if you don't hear him when you abide with him in that morning, you know, that you're not going to know what to do. You know, so dependent on him that you know you're going to talk to him in the morning so you sleep like a baby at night knowing that he'll tell you in the morning when the day starts. You're not all worried about the next day. And it makes me think about what Jonathan Cahn said, you know, when he talked about how in control is God. Let's watch 450. Watch this.
Then for you, the Shemitah says, for you who are in God, in his will, the Shemitah says, the Lord is on the throne. And though the mountains may fall into the heart of the sea, we shall not fear. For the Lord our God is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. He is our rock, and he who stands upon this rock shall not be shaken. No matter what it looks like, God is in control. No matter what surrounds you and what trouble, God is in control. No matter what comes against you, God is still in control. The world may be crazy, but he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got you and me, brothers, you and me, sisters, in his hands. And the one who's on the side of God, remember, is on the winning side. Not even hell can stop the will or work of our God.
Not even hell can stop the will and the work of our God. This is so exciting. It's like, who is your God? Is this trouble that you see in this earth bigger than your God? The God that I serve is bigger than any of this. Mm. And I'm excited because many people who don't know him are about to know him. Many people, just like I think I can't get off to all the people right now, that God's moving in every nation, doing awesome things, and he's drawing people to himself. But listen, if you are his, understand, he says in Psalms 91 that if you abide under his wing, if you hang out with him, and if you don't have an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, but you have made him the Lord of your life, go to iabide.org. You see at the bottom of your screen right now, go to iabide.org. We have a plan for you, a simple, free plan. Request it today because you want to begin to abide with him. But understand, he will actually set you aside. He will warn you. As a matter of fact, we're going to even make available to you the Shemitah blessing that is a blessing spoken by Pastor John Kilpatrick during this conference that God gave him in the early morning hours, that you can claim that this is the God that I serve and the God that he will lead me and protect me. And think about God, I mean, when you look at how he shifted things during the time of King Ahab and Jezebel, when he raised up a particular leader called Jehu to come in to deal with things. He first went through the crowd, John. Mm. He first went through the crowd, the people when they were fixing to get the consequences, and he handpicked the people that didn't belong in that crowd because they were God's. He wanted to make sure there wasn't anybody there. And I think about Ezekiel. Mm-hmm. As Ezekiel,
I believe it's Ezekiel 9.
Well, he had Ezekiel,
puts a mark on the
he goes down and puts a mark. He has his angels come and put a mark on those that are his. So when these things happen, it doesn't happen to those that are his. Now, if we're in rebellion and we're in the darkness and we're not listening to him, we're only fooling ourselves. But if you're hanging out with God and you're listening and following him, then you have nothing to fear.
That's right.
I mean, nothing to fear at all. And God is so in control. And there's a secret place that you can go to. There is the safest place. It's not about a location. It's not about, as a matter of fact, we get back from this break. Do we have some more time? I want you to right now. Awesome. We got time. You're about to hear the safest place. Because you think, is it in my basement? Is it in a different country? Is it a different state? Do I need my passports? Do I need a bomb shelter? What do I need, right? Well, listen, watch Jonathan Cahn here. He tells us where the safest place is.
Do not fear. People ask me, how can I be safe? In Hebrew, the word for safety is Yeshua, and Yeshua is Jesus. He's our safety. He's our rock. He's the answer. He's our light. He's our refuge. Outside of him, there's no safety. Inside of him, there is no fear. If you're outside of God, then fear, but then get in and you can stop fearing. If you're in God and there's things that are not right, get them right with God. You know, the safest place, is it where is the safest place to be? Is it the Midwest? Is it South America? The safest place, is it the will of God? If you're in the will of God, get more in the will of God.
If you're in the will of God, get more in the will of God. The Hebrew word in Yeshua means safety.
Wow.
So Jesus, he really is. Listen, he the enemy has tried to paint God as a God that he's not. Mm-hmm. Try to paint Jesus as the Son of God that he's not. He is powerful. He is above all things. At his name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. if Yahshua is your Lord, you are safe. And if he's not, today you can enter into that safety. You think about that. And I'm thinking about, you know, so many people are trying to prepare and what to do. And it's like, you know what? We got to be about the Father's business. Mm. You got to be about the Father's business. This is what he said. He said, this is what Jesus said. When the master comes back, he needs to find us about his business, feeding his people, taking care of them. And one thing that he asks of us as believers, he says, I want you to be my disciple. And if you haven't yet began to be his disciple, and Jesus said, those who know my teachings and follow my teachings are really my disciples. They know the truth, and the truth will set them free. If you want to be free, what's happening in your life, I mean, it's about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And Multiply Movement, you can see that at the bottom of your screen right now, multiplymovement.org. It's a place you can go to begin a journey of discipleship. You want to begin it right away because disciples, you know, make disciples. As Francis Chan and David Platt laid it out perfectly for you there to begin this journey. And we get back from this break. We're going to talk about, you know, how can you know this Yahshua? How can you know Jesus? And Jonathan's talking about it. And, you know, Jonathan's a Messianic Jew. And just exciting, great wisdom about this very issue. We come back from the break.
Do you believe in the cross of Christ?
I'm a pastor.
If you believe, then the question is, what are you going to do about it?
You know, when you're seeing all and hearing, I mean, you've got to hear this entire conference, and it's available to you. All the details are on the torch at VFNTV.com. But, man, this is a Shemitah year. These things are happening. Yes, they're happening. It's kind of difficult the way that, you know, things are been, the way society is today, the way that media comes today, that people have artificially experienced a lot of authentic emotions on imagery and movies and even news that's not even, you know, it's tragic, but it's not happening in your neighborhood yet. You know, it's not happening in your community yet. And so you may be familiar with it. You may be desensitized. You don't, you know, your things can be just, you know, I can't feel any myself. You're going to have to feel this is real.
This is real.
We are in the Shemitah. This is it. And some of the things that in this conference that's talked about, and we may have even played some of them on VFN TV. They talked about this is a perfect time, and no man knows the day or the hour now, but it is going to happen. But this would be a perfect time at the end of the Shemitah for the tribulation to begin. Mm-hmm. You know, and well, you're pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. You know, I'm pan-trib. It'll kind of pans out in the end.
Right.
But understand this: that means we could be very well. I mean, look what's happening in the world. Look what's happening. I mean, American leadership is turning against Israel. And we can say, oh, that's them, that's not us. Understand, they are us. Those 535 elected leaders in Washington, D.C. were elected by the people who live in all 50 states. They got there by permission, you know, in regards to it's like, we've got to say, dear Lord, you know, have mercy on us. Stop this thing, this turning against Israel and turning against God. And so, you know, what do you do at a time like this? Well, it's time to get serious with God. If you get serious with God, he will get serious with you. It's time to just shove off all the religion. I mean, if you are even, you know, getting in a fellowship that doesn't teach the word of God, you're not even hearing what's going on. And you got to challenge people there and say, listen, we need to talk about what's relevant right this moment. Can you hear what's being said? And I think about, you know, so many times people are just stuck like a stuck record. They're stuck a tape, just putting the same thing over and over again. And one guy told me, he says, listen, you know, I love my pastor, but all he says is grace. Every message is about grace, and the whole world's falling apart.
Wow.
It didn't know what to do with it. Well, listen, there's grace to hear God, to obey God, to follow God. As a matter of fact, listen to what Jonathan Kahn talks about. It's time for us to get serious with God and say, you know, I want to make Jesus Christ the safe place of my life. Watch this.
We want to pray a prayer. I want to help you right now with a simple prayer to make this. It's not about the prayer. It's about your heart saying yes to God. God's calling you. Some of you, you may have been all right, but he's calling you to a higher calling now. But I want you to, we're going to pray together. And the prayer is to simply say yes to God's call and yes to him in every way. and to put him as Lord of every part of our life. If you have not prayed that before, it's going to be the prayer of your salvation. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen. But if you prayed before, this is your consecration. Now the Bible says that there's only two roads you can go on, heaven or hell, and you're on one or the other. But Jesus said the only way to enter heaven is to be born again. So if you're not born again, you're on the wrong road, and you need to get right before that heartbeat stops, because you're only separated from eternity by one heartbeat. So that's God knocking, saying, let me in. Now's the time. And he won't reject you. He says, come now. He's calling you right now. If you're not born again, you don't know how long you have. You may never have another day, or you might not be open another time. This is your moment right now. You don't know. You don't have to know what the future brings. You have to know he who holds the future, and he will hold you too. But you got to get right now. So with our eyes closed, for those, if you're not sure you're born again, or where you're going to be 1,000 years from now, you need to know. That means you need to get in. If you've been in God, but you haven't really been in his will, you pray, make it your own prayer, but dedicate, consecrate now. And if God's calling you to a higher ground now, all out, you pray, make it your own prayer. But we're going to set him as Lord of every part of our life. Let's pray right now. Just repeat after me. Just repeat after me these words and mean it in your heart. Lord God, I come to you now, and I open my heart to your will, to your calling. I will follow you wherever you lead. I will stand for you no matter what. I proclaim that you are Lord of every part of my life. Forgive me, wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Give me an anointing to stand and to overcome. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me, dying for my sins, and rising from death so I could live, so I could be saved. Lord, fill me. I turn away from any darkness, from any compromise. I lay it aside, and I put you first. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to follow you as your disciple more than ever before. Fill me, wash me, anoint me for the days ahead. And I thank you that by this prayer and by your word, I can say, I am blessed, I am free, I am new, I am victorious, I am an overcomer, I'm saved, I'm born again, and I'll be with you always. Lead me on to higher ground. In the name of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
I think about when I was in Israel. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the family of God, by the way. You want to find out more details, go to meetmyfather.org. And when I was in Israel, and we went to seeing everything and visiting and ministering, and a particular man there, he was from the Aaron priesthood, the Aaron lineage, you know. And we were in his office, and he was an artist. He some beautiful things that he had drawn. I have one hanging in my office today that he had given me. Of Mary on the feet of Jesus, you know, just washing his feet. And so we're talking or whatever, and he says, you know, I just want to pray for my family lineage. I just want to pray this blessing over you. You know, I want to pray this Aaronic blessing over you from Aaron, you know. And so often we leave the ways of God, not realize this. There's power in following and doing what God says. And when a priest, when somebody blesses you, when a father blesses you, when you have a blessing, it just changes your life. And this is what God wanted this blessing to go forth over his people. And he had Aaron speaking. So he starts speaking this blessing to over us in his office. And the presence of the Lord just filled the, you know, place that we were at in Israel. And it was so strong that, you know, we're trying not to just be still. And all of a sudden, just water just started pouring out. It wasn't like a tear. It was just like streams of water. My elbows were on my knee, and we just began to just weep. And it was just like God's just enveloped us and just hugged us. And I really believe right now, just this moment, you're about to be hugged by God. I want you to prepare yourself because Jonathan Kahn is about to speak this Aaronic blessing over everyone. Just receive it. Set yourself up. I was caught totally by surprise. Wasn't even thinking about it. Didn't understand, you know, the things of Israel at that point that I somewhat do now. And God just showed up in a powerful way, in a powerful way to be able to say, you know, I just want to bless you. I just want to bless you. And I want you to receive this blessing. I want you to prepare your heart. And we're going to let Jonathan close this out in prayer today. We're going to close this program out of VFN TV today with the Aaronic blessing over you. Receive this blessing in Jesus' name.
So I want to give you the ancient blessing that is given in the Bible that God gave to Aaron and said, you will place my name upon them when you give this blessing. This is the blessing that God himself wrote. And so there's some power in it. And it is for, I said, you know, in the days of the temple, that was my line is Aaron. And so my fathers gave this to the people of Israel. You are the chosen people in God, grafted in. And so I want to pray this blessing. So when I ask that, let me put this on first. That you would lift up your hands in receiving, not from man, but as from God. And you will close your eyes. And the Lord keep you. The Lord this year cause his face to shine on your life as never before. And the Lord pour out upon you, upon your home, upon the works of your hands, the outpouring of his grace for every day of your life. And the Lord give to you. As the Lord lift up the glory of his presence, the glory, his Shekinah glory upon your life this year, and the Lord give to you shalom, life, fullness, peace, all the blessings of his love, b'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name that is above every name that is named in this world. Yeshua, Jesus, Or HaOlam, the light of this world, Uchvod Yisrael, Ba'ari, Yehuda, and the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In his holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.